Let the church say amen this morning. God has been good to us once again. And we need to learn to say thank you, O Lord. Now there are those in with that school of thought that I only need God when I need God. And then there are others who say, I need God all the time. And you have to decide which category you fall in. I like to choose the category of I need Him all the time. I'm weak because I'm a man. I'm weak because I'm a human. And I'm weak because if it wasn't for the grace and the goodness of God, I would be nothing. So we need Him all the time. And I'm so glad to see so many of you out today. And I just thank God for that. And I know why some of you are here today, but I'll talk about it in a moment. But nevertheless, it's good to see you anyway. Before we go any further, let us go to God in prayer. Oh Lord, our wonderful and righteous Father, you are the Father, the Creator and the Maker of all things in this lifetime, in other lifetimes, and of this world itself. We thank you, O Lord, that you have blessed us to still be here among those who are living. We can give you a thank you, Father, just for the fact that we are still here, because we didn't have to be here. We started on this road with many others at the same time, and some of those are not here any longer. But thank God we are still here, and that gives us another opportunity to serve thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you this morning, Father, for the Church of Christ, especially our local congregation here. We are praying this morning, Father, for each and every one in this audience this morning. But we're praying especially for our elders and the job that they must do and the things that they must endure and what they must go through in order to be elders. We're praying for their families. And we're praying for the members as well. We're praying for the members of what they must go through and what they must do as members. And we're just praying for them and their families that they might also find strength. We're praying this morning, O Lord, because the world is in a sad condition, O Lord. When people can't get up in one part of the world and go to work and go about their daily business without being blown up, it's a sad state of affairs. When our children can't walk the streets and when children can't play outside, it's a sad state of affairs. And Father, we know only you can step in and change these states of affairs right now, O Lord. And we're just praying. We're praying for those families who have lost loved ones. We're praying for the families of those who have caused loss upon those who have loved ones that have been lost. We're just praying, O Heavenly Father. We're just praying that we can get it right in the church, O Lord, that things would be well in thy sight. We're praying this morning, Father, for those who are sick, those who are shut in, those who are unable to be here. We're praying where sickness has touched families. We're praying for where sickness has touched individuals. But we're praying most of all where sickness has touched the household of faith, O Lord, all of those members of the household of faith. We're praying this morning, Father, and asking that if it be thy will, that you would strengthen all of us. Give us what it is that we need, O Heavenly Father, to reach out and call upon thy name. You have blessed us to have thy word. And Father, help us to teach and spread thy word and know thy word that we may use it whenever we need to. Thank you, Father. Thank you, O Lord, for the parents who are raising our children today. And Father, our parents frankly need help, many of them. And we're just asking you to give them the strength, the wisdom, and the courage they need. And then, Father, we're praying for our young people. Father, it is not just enough to tell your child to be careful when he goes out the door anymore. We must make sure you fortify him with something better than just be careful. We must have the word of God on our side. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the leaders of this world in which we live. And we're just praying, O Lord, that you may bless them, that they may make the right decisions, that all of this one day will be over and that we can all live in peace and harmony. Then, my Heavenly Father, we're praying for those who are without, those who may not know know you, Father, in the parting of their sins, those who have not had the opportunity to stand up and stand in the light. We're just praying for them, O Heavenly Father. Then, my Heavenly Father, as this church service continues, we're just praying, O Lord, that everything that we have done thus far and all the things we do from this point on will find favor in thy sight. We're praying for those brothers who have taken part in the services as well as those who come from this point on. Be with us all, O Lord. Watch over and keep us, O Heavenly Father. Give us that we need in order to continue to survive. Watch over and keep us now, O Heavenly Father, for we ask all of these blessings in the name of your Son, the one who marched up Calvary's hill and hung on yonder's cross. We ask all these blessings, Father, in his name. Let us all say, amen. This morning from the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, and Brother McReynolds read for your hearing, but we'll reread it. In the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." Verse number 6, for it says, "For he is not here, he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." He is risen this morning. That's the subject that we're going to use this morning. Now, I know there are many things in this world that some look upon as odd, unnatural, or unreal. But to those who are children of God, we understand that the ways of God are very real and that he is in control of everything in this life. And he is in charge of everything in this life. We know that life without death is impossible. We know that dying without Christ is a disaster, and trying to live without Christ makes life hopeless. But in today's text, we find a risen Lord in an empty tomb and an angel's testimony, if you will. Notice, if you will, as we go into our lesson this morning, notice how that these women came to the tomb of Jesus. And I like how they came, for the Bible says in the end, in the first verse there, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Now that tells me something right there. That tells me that they came pretty early in the morning. Unlike some of us, we don't get here even by mid-morning. But these women came early in the morning on the first day of the week, which makes it a Sunday, church, the Lord's Day. So when we think about it, a timeline has been set in the order, yet the text does not give us an exact hour. It just says they came in the morning as it began to dawn. The important matter is that he had risen, if you'll notice the text as we continue on. Unlike many, many who would have excused a visit to see the tomb by using the time-tested excuse of saying, "Why go there? There's a stumbling block in the way." Look at verse number 2, if you will. "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." What was the stumbling block? Well, the stumbling block many would have used in today's vernacular was that stone. There was that stone that was blocking us, so why should we try to go? If we go to church today, nobody's going to be there if we get there early, so I may as well just not go. Just like those who don't go to church and they rationalize it by saying, "I don't like somebody at the church house. I'd rather be around my house where there are a bunch of people that I don't like than to go down to the church house where there's one or two that I don't like." But I got some news for you. That excuse won't hold any water in the end, for 1 John chapter 4 tells me if a man says that I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. And God does not like a liar, according to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 17. Any religion that serves a dead God is not serving the God that we know, for our God is alive. Yes, church, I know that many show up in churches everywhere today. Some may even be under the false assumption that Jesus got up because it was Easter Sunday. But I'm here to straighten that out this morning. He didn't get up because it was Easter Sunday. As a matter of fact, when you think about it, the word Easter is only mentioned in the Bible one time in Acts chapter 12 and verse number 4, and it wasn't talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Easter, when you look it up in history, Easter was the order of the goddess of the sky, I believe it was, of spring. I'm sorry, of the goddess of spring. Honor was paid to her through sacrifices around Passover each year. But somewhere around about the 8th century, when the name Easter was used to designate the people deciding to add that as a Christian, they call it a Christian holiday, so they called it. And they use it to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I tell you, Jesus didn't get up because it was Easter, but I know some of you probably came to church because it was Easter. Some of you came to church because it was Easter, and some of you came to church because you want to show off your new clothes. Well, once you get a little bit older, you get far past that point of showing off your new clothes. The white suit that you got doesn't mean anything to you anymore. The white shoes that you got don't mean anything to you anymore. So you just come to church because you love the Lord. But I like these women, church. I like these women because it was a show of their faith, because they got up pretty early to get to church. To get to the tomb. They didn't go to the tomb because it was Easter like some of us think. Easter is simply a term used by many clothing merchants today, probably some of the same relatives of those who tell you to buy stuff for Christmas too. But yes, church, I know that somebody said, well, I'll get up and go to church this morning because it's Easter Sunday and this is the day that the Lord rose. Yes, the day the Lord rose on the first day, but it wasn't Easter Sunday. Every time I read this story in Matthew chapter 28, I'm amazed at these women who came, who showed so much concern. It tells me something, that they were concerned about the Master, even though the Master had been crucified. They displayed to me great faith. They did not concern themselves with issues like we sometimes bring up, like I would go to church today, but brother or sister so-and-so may be there, and so I'm not going. I would go to church today, but I don't really have anything new to put on. Well, why you got to wear something new? I would go to church today, but every time I go to church, the only thing that they do is talk about God and beg for money. Well, I tell you, the two go hand in hand. If you're going to come out to serve God, you have to talk about Him. Isn't that right? You wouldn't want me to stand up here and talk about one of the soap operas, would you? Maybe somebody would. But you expect to hear about God. And then, yes, we ask for money because we need money to operate the building. What if you had came in here this morning? It's kind of warm in here. It feels pretty nice in here, don't it? What if we didn't have any money and couldn't pay the gas bill? We don't have the old stove in the middle of the floor to heat up, because if we did, somebody in the front would be burning up and somebody in the back would be cold as ice. So we have to pay our bills. But every time I think about these ladies knowing that Jesus had been crucified, but they still showed up to the church, to the tomb anyway. These women did not question those issues things like that stone that may be in our way. So in verse number 2, I want you to notice what they said here. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. And then he sat up on it. He sat up on it to show the power of God and show them that God is alive and God is able to move whatever is in your way out of your way. When they got there was nothing in their way. When you get to church on Sunday morning, there should be nothing in your way either of serving God in spirit and in truth. The stone that they had rolled in front of the tomb was not there anymore. The stone was gone. It wasn't there. Oh, some of us, we start out early. They say we start church sometime too early and we stay too long. That's one of the time-tested recipes, excuses. But these women didn't use that. We sometimes doubt and allow things to get in our way of serving God. But if we just learn to trust and to turn things over to God, He will make a way for us. Notice again in verse number 2 how that the angel had rolled the stone back. and set upon it. If you will, you'll note that in that verse, in that second verse there, God had already issued a legal notice to the grave, paving the way that His only Son should get up and come out of the grave. Look at it again. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat up on it, saying, "Stone, you can't block the Lord our God in that tomb any longer." But then, far too many times, we concern ourselves with matters that are best left to God to handle, but we think we can handle them better. But I got news for you this morning. I can't do what God can do. There's just no way that we can do what God can do. So look at verse number 3, if you will, as a description of the angel that was sitting on the rock. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of the keepers, did shake and became as dead men. But I like it in verse number 6, church, where it says that as the women came forward, the angel said, "He is not here, for he is risen as he said. You can only come and see the place where he lay." He was not there. Isn't that wonderful, church, to know that God is not in the grave anymore? Isn't it wonderful to know that all the other so-called religious leaders that have died, guess where they're at today? They're still dead. They didn't come back, and they will not come back till the day of judgment. Far too many times when we look at things in the matter of religion, we like to make many excuses for our doing what we do and our reasoning behind what we do. But I found in Philippians 4 and 6 where the writer said we are to be careful for nothing, but in everything let your prayers be made known to God. In other words, just tell God all about it. Just let God know about it. The plan was orchestrated by God Himself. Christ said, Christ died on the sixth day of the week. And in John chapter 19 and verse number 30, this is how I know it said, "It is finished." He bowed His head and died. His mission was coming to an end. But then on the first day of the week, He got up, church. Thank God that He no longer resides in the grave. This is why it is such a privilege to know that we have been given the opportunity today to call upon His name. If Jesus had not raised up, if Jesus had not risen, if Jesus had not gotten up, then not only would our preaching be in vain, but also our faith is in vain, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 14. Some folk won't allow their faith to lead them. They rely on their feelings as a guide to their faith. But in other words, if it feels right, it's okay. But I got some news for you. Do you remember in Luke chapter 8 where the disciples were caught in a storm out on the sea and they thought they were going to die even though they were with Jesus? That was their feeling, that they were going to die, but Jesus was there with them. Why fear anything when you got the Lord on your side? That's all I'm trying to say. When you got God on your side, there is no need to fear. So Christ got up and He asked him, He said, "Where is your faith?" So church, I ask you, is your faith intact? Or are you like some others who have such little faith? Do you have a little faith in the ever popular events of Jesus outlined in Luke chapter 12? Jesus was telling about the story of how He cares for the grass and the flowers. Then He posed the question in verse number 28, "If God clothed the grass, how much more will He clothe you of little faith?" So I ask you, church, is your faith intact enough to say that I trust in the Lord? I have enough faith in God to take care of my every need. So then when you look at these ladies, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of the keepers did shake and became as dead men. For the angel answered and said unto the women, this is what I want you to hear, church. "Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified." So I ask the question this morning, are you seeking Jesus this morning? Are you seeking Jesus, or did you come, as I said, because Big Ma asked you to come? Are you seeking Jesus this morning, or did you come because you think it's a national holiday in the religious world? It's not. It's not. So I ask you to make sure that your faith is intact. So many today lack faith, even Christians. But I suggest to you that you should not be discouraged, for Jesus said in Luke chapter 17 and verse number 6, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to a tree, be plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea, and it should obey. That's a lot of faith, church. That's just a little faith, but that's a lot of faith in asking God or asking a tree to move for you. It's simply showing us how and what a little faith can do. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, you know the scripture, you know the text. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And some of us are like this. Unless God has personally visited us and done something for us, many tend to forget about our faith. But I tell you something. If you suffer from dwindling faith, you got a pretty serious disease. You got a pretty serious spiritual disease, and having dwindling faith or no faith, because the scriptures tell us we walk by faith, we pray by faith, and most important of all, we trust in God through the faith that we have in Him. The promise of God is by faith. When we lose that faith, or our faith starts to dwindle, guess what happens to us? We begin to be on a seesaw. One day we're with Satan, and he goes to work when we're like that. The next day we're not with Satan. So I want you to understand something, church. If you don't have your faith intact, Satan will work on you. Anytime you let your guard down, that's when Satan goes to work on us, goes to work harder. He's always at work because he loves to work on Christians. And unfortunately, he gets some of us. But thank God we don't have to worry today about whether our God is alive. For we know by the text that He is not in the grave anymore. We don't have to be like Peter and some of the others who decided one day, since Jesus wasn't around to show them anything and had not given them to preach and to teach the resurrection, they decided to go fishing. In John chapter 21, Peter and some of them decided, well, let's go fishing. And I don't think it was a slap in the face of Jesus. I think this was their job and they just needed to get back to work because Jesus wasn't there. And so they had lost a little bit, if you will, maybe of faith. But I know something happened there. In verse number 6 of John chapter 21, Jesus gave them some instruction. Jesus instructed them on how and where to cast their net. He told them just exactly the spot. He said, cast it on the right side. Cast it on the right side. Church, don't we supposed to do things on the right side? When Jesus shows up, things always change. They came up with more fish than they could draw in. When our lives become so entangled with life itself, we need someone who can bring us through our every need. And God is that someone. But you must have faith. It was faith that brought Moses through in Hebrews chapter 11 around verse number 27, where he left Egypt, fearing not the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. To those who still believe that the Lord is dead, all they need to do is revisit the tomb in today's text. Oh, how wonderful it is when the smoke of doubt is rekindled with the fires of the Word of God. It is by the suffering He healed us and brought us hope. It is by the suffering of Jesus Christ that He brought hope for all to receive and all to have if they but accept it. In John chapter 17, around about verse number 1 on the prayer of faith, Jesus said, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. But you must have faith, church. Faith is a good thing to have. And can I have too much faith? I don't think so. I don't think we can have. Can you have too much money? I don't think so. But a lot of people got so much money, they don't know what to do with it. But isn't that a good feeling to have too much money? But it would be a better feeling to have a lot of faith or too much faith, if there is such a thing. But then it's good to know that what joy it was for the ladies when they came to the tomb and found that Jesus was no longer in the tomb. And look at verse number 8 of that same text, Matthew 28. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples the word. To bring his disciples word. But some of us, we don't even walk too fast when we talk about taking the word of God somewhere. Some of us just barely crawl. But the Bible says that they ran to bring his word to the disciples. Church, we can be joyful as well, for his getting up means we can share in the hope of eternal life. Thank God today for the God that we serve is a risen God. Thank God the God we serve is a God who inspires his word. Who inspired his word to be written. Thank God that the God we serve has a home on high for us when this life is over. Thank God we don't have to fear death, for God we serve has swallowed death in victory. Thank God for the God we serve has taken the sting out of death. Thank God for the God we serve has a crown of life for us when this battle is over. Thank God, church, for the God that we serve is the God that all can serve. So if there be any who came to church because it's Easter, then if there be any who came to church because you came with mama or daddy, you need to rethink your thoughts. You need to understand that if you came simply for that reason, you need to look at your religious convictions again. You need to understand that because Jesus died for all of us, that means he died for you too. That means he died for me as well. And when Christ died on the cross, you remember how lonely it was, because his disciples had all spread. They had left Christ to die all by himself except the onlookers. But if I tell you something, church, thank God that he is alive today. Thank God that if you came here today to serve anything but a risen God, because it's his day and because you want to try to make it into heaven's gate, then your reasons are invalid. Why don't you tell yourself today is the day, because tomorrow is not promised. Today is the day, and if I start serving him in earnest today, then that's a good thing. It's good, and God is a good God, church. Do you understand that? How good God really is to us. And I know I'm hastening to a close now. God is good enough. He was good enough to suffer pain and agony. He was good enough to give his life on a cross on a hill. Good enough to speak to his Father on our behalf. Good enough to prepare heaven for us. But how good is that, church? Well, don't you want to serve a good God? A God that, like the God that we serve, that can do all the things for us that we can't do for ourselves. And because he can accomplish what we can't accomplish, that makes him even a better God. But then, I like what the text said once again in verse number 5. And the angels answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. Come see the place where he lay. See, that's what I tell you about some of the religions in the world today. They can't even show you the place where their religious leaders lay. What they can show you is the place where their religious leaders are buried at, but not where they lay, but where they are laying. Isn't that right, church? And I tell you something, when I come to church on Sunday morning, I don't come to church for you to see me. I come to church for me to serve God in spirit and in truth. I come to church because it's the right thing to do. I come to church, oh, I'm happy to see you, don't get me wrong. But I didn't come to church so we can have a social hour. I came to church so we can have an hour of prayer and serving God. Isn't that what we ought to come for? Oh, yeah. I know some come to church in many churches. They come to church because they have a bingo night. They come to church, they have a date night. Well, I already told you about date night. Don't ask this preacher to hook you up with nobody, because I have a problem hooking myself up. So I got married a long time ago. And when I got married a long time ago, I hooked myself up. So you must hook yourself up. I don't come to church because I'm sure that we're going to have barbecue night tomorrow night. That's not the reason to come to church. You come to church because you want to serve God in spirit and truth. You want to be with the rest of the saints who are doing just the same. Isn't that right, church? Somebody quoted the scripture this morning in Hebrews 9 and verse number 27. There's only one time for us, and we're going to die. We've got one chance in this life. And if after we die, there's no more chances. You know the story of the rich man and Lazarus. I tell it to you almost every time I stand up, how that he wanted to serve God after the fact. He wanted his brothers to serve God after his fact of death. But you can't do that. You can't do that, church. You've got to serve Him while you are here alive and well. And I used to hear my grandmother used to sing that song about the old ship of Zion. And they used to talk about while the blood is still running warm in your veins. See, when that blood grows cold in your vein, that means you have turned cold and there's no more serving for you. Your serving days are while you still can. And somebody may ask the question this morning, well, I've tried to serve God, and every time I try to serve God, don't look like things go the right way. Then you're not serving the right God. Because the God that I know doesn't do things wrong. He only does things right. The God that I know is the God that can reach from heaven all the way down to this earth. Do you remember the lady who just wanted to touch the hem of His garment? She had been sick for 12 years and she had spent all of her money. Reminds me today of some people who are sick and don't know how to call upon the name or won't call upon the name of the Lord. That's why it's so important for us, church, today to reach out to people. And it's good when we know of someone that's sick that we can reach out to them. It's good that when we know of someone that's in need that we can reach out to them. It's good to know because we serve a good God who would do the same for us. It's good to know that the God who is risen, the God who went to the grave but is no longer in the grave, is the same God. He's just living, He's in heaven now, and He's looking down instead of walking around with us today. And some don't understand that concept. He's not here. So I can't serve Him, but you can serve Him through His Word. How do I get to serving the Lord that the Bible speaks of? Where you come to the Lord by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Oh, it's a lovely day to get baptized. Great day to get baptized. Because you know why? Why it's such a great day? Because you're here. And you may not be here next Sunday. And we don't have to wait until the fifth Sunday to baptize you either. We can baptize you this Sunday. Brother Jackson said, So that means yes. So if you're here this morning and you are already a Christian, but somewhere your life has went astray, what better day than this day to come forward, ask the Lord to forgive you first of all, and then ask the church to pray for you. And the church likes to pray. Oh, the church likes to pray. Because when you're praying for someone, you're doing what the Bible tells you to do. It says pray for one another. And when you pray for one another, that's a good thing. So as we together stand and sing the song of invitation, if you need to come forward, you can do so right now.